You're listening to Wheelationships.
All right, I'll get you a handout in a minute, but first, we'll make this work. Smart people, dumb choices. Waiting is the hardest part. Okay. All right, I have a video some of you may have seen. This is actually a much test of obedience because I'm going to ask you to do something for me. You can laugh during this, but please don't comment. This may be hard for some of you. Zip it. All right. Watch it. See if you can pass the test. But please don't comment, because especially if you've seen this before, because we don't want to spoil it for others, all right? So you'd be blurting out things. All right, so quick video. I'm going to have to turn off the lights. It's going to get dark.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
How many think you know how many passes the team in white made? All right. So, just give me the number. How many?
13.
15. All right. Hang on. No other comments. I'm just asking you one thing.
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Did you see the moonwalking bear? How many of you, for those of you that saw the moonwalking bear, have you seen this before? Okay. You seen the gorilla? How many of you that did not see the moonwalking bear, you would say there was no moonwalking bear? I'm going to show you the video again. Same video.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
Same video. Absolutely. Right? Those of you that saw the moonwalking bear, that was the same video, right? Yeah. Those of you that saw the moonwalking bear, did you get the right number of passes?
No.
You were one off. Okay, so you didn't do both at the same time. I do have a handout if I can get some help. All right. All right, so while the handout's coming around, we've been talking about 10 emotions that can lead us to making dumb choices. Now, hopefully, over the past several weeks as we've been talking about these emotions, hopefully you've noticed a few things, because I've tried to mention them, but hopefully you've noticed a few things about these emotions. Number one, all of these tend to be connected to each other. Don't take any of this and try to isolate it, because there's a lot of connection here. So if you're dealing with pride, as we talked about last week, then it's easy to get angry, which is one of the emotions we talked about. And those two can kind of work together, and you can make dumb choices out of that. If you're fearful, and you also have this emotion of greed going on, then you can get really turned around as you try to protect what you think you have. So all of these emotions kind of work together. They're a little connected. Hopefully that's obvious to you. Secondly, the most obvious answer when we're dealing with these emotions would seem to be, well, stop it. Okay? You're angry about something and it's leading you to a dumb choice. Well, stop it. Stop being angry. You're fearful about something. Well, stop it. That would seem to be the most obvious answer, and it is. And so today we're going to talk about impatience. And so the most obvious answer would be, well, stop it. Be patient. Okay, well, that's true. But in all of these things, what we're attempting to do is help you look at things that you don't necessarily notice that are contributing to that emotion. Does that make sense? So there are things that you need to consider that may not be so obvious in order to make smart choices. And thirdly, all of these emotions that we're talking about, we've talked about fear, greed, pride, anger, all of these are really complex, and there's a lot of facets to them. So we're not trying to cover all the facets. And so I'm going to talk about, this morning we're talking about, well, impatience is this way, or patience is this way. Well, that's just one of the ways. And so there's many facets to it. There's many complexities to it. We're not trying to cover everything. We're trying to give you a couple of things that you can work on and be aware of. So this week we're talking about impatience. Anyone make a dumb choice recently because of impatience? last hour, maybe? I don't know. Anybody? Anybody? Can you think of a concrete example when you've... Yeah?
Lane awareness.
Lane?
I'm gonna hit this one because it looks like it's going fast, but it's not a good choice. This one's really slow. I should have stayed in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that a few times.
The bank, grocery store. Yeah.
Pick this register.
Yeah. The toll booth. You get to the toll booth and it's like, okay. Yeah, shortest line. No. Wrong. There's a reason. Part of this class is the ability that you can work some of these things out, talk about them. There's this quote. Somebody said, the impatient person, may not always be wrong on issues, but they're almost always wrong in their attitudes. The impatient, you may be completely right on the issue, but the attitude is the problem. And the attitude of impatience is what leads us into problems. So can we agree? Let's take a shortcut here. Not because I'm impatient. Maybe. But can we agree that impatience is not a godly trait? Can we agree that it's patience that is the fruit of the Spirit? Impatience is not a fruit of the Spirit. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay? Good. Good. That's good. See, some shortcuts are good. So, isn't it amazing that we continue to expect impatience to work for us? We do. It's true of all these emotions. We expect that our impatience is going to work for us, that it's going to speed up the people in front of us, that it's going to make our spouse get the chore done a little quicker, that it's going to help our children to not procrastinate. Somehow my impatience is going to help that.
You can move
it. You can. Yeah. See, as long as we believe that impatience is going to work, then we're not going to try to change that. We're going to keep trying to use it. So here are some things to consider. Maybe possibly even put into practice if you want to start making smarter decisions. First one is this. Frame your choices in the context of faith. frame your choices in the context of faith. And here's what I mean by that. Realize that there is almost always, or many times, maybe I won't even go that much, but many times there is an issue of faith at work in when we make our choices. Whether we're talking about anger or greed or fear or pride or impatience, if you put what you're feeling into that context of, am I trusting God or am I not trusting God, it might help you make a better decision. Because think about it. Do we believe that God is faithful? Do you believe that God is faithful? Do you believe that God will take care of us? Okay? Well, if so, then what do we do about that fear we have? Okay? We need to put it in the context of, okay, I believe that God is faithful. I believe that he's going to take care of me. So do I need to listen and follow through with that particular emotion? Or do I need to really believe that God is going to take care of me? Or feelings of greed. We talked about greed. You know, if God is really faithful and God is really going to take care of me, then let me put that feeling into the context of faith. Am I really having faith here? Do we believe that we will have enough? Do we believe that we're going to be protected? Do we believe that we are significant and secure? If we believe that we're significant and we're secure, then when those feelings of anger come that wants to work my way, then what are we going to do with them? Well, I'm going to go back and put that in the context of faith. Act in faith and because when we act in faith and obedience to God, we can significantly increase the number of smart choices we make, right? Makes sense. So here's where this ties into impatience. In a lot of instances, what patience really is patience is faith in the time something takes. When we exhibit patience, we are exhibiting faith in the time that something takes. Well, this just takes time. I'm in the grocery line, as I am every week. I have come to understand that when you're in Walmart, it's going to take some time. I don't need to be impatient. I have perfect faith in this is going to take some time. And it may...
Why he shops and not me.
I don't blame you. Yeah. He registers really real, but it just...
It happens. So, if... And think about this. If I've committed my life to God, okay, if I've committed who I am and I've committed everything about me to God, and if I'm praying about the choices and the decisions I make in my life, and I've taken all those choices and the decisions and I get them over to God, then patience is the faith that the time that God is taking is the right amount of time. Many times we jump into dumb decisions, dumb choices, because we pray about it, we commit it, quote unquote, but we're not really having real faith in the time that God is taking. And so he calls us up, and you know. So, now think about it. Can you think of examples, both good and bad, of people that have held on to the faith of that it's going to take time? And see, that emotion goes back to the underlying where we've many times placed our trust. You think in Scripture, okay? You think of David. David is one of those prime good examples of someone who understood that the time that God is going to take is the right amount of time. Okay? You're going to be king. Okay? 5 years later, still not king. 10 years later, still not king. 14 years later, finally king. So there's a good example. Abraham, a bad example of God's got the right amount of time, okay? You're going to have a son. You're going to bear children, okay? Doesn't happen. Okay, let's get the servant to help out, okay? So that's a bad example of people that haven't had the faith in the time something takes. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it didn't work out for him. Yeah. It's considered sin. Don't try to bother breaking down labels. It's sin. Many times our impatience is simply a lack of faith in God's timetable. So, but you might say, well, you know, my impatience doesn't have anything to do with God. It's all about my slowpoke husband or my procrastinating child or the pokey driver in front of me. You know, this is not God's issue here. I have said that many times. But here's what we know to be true. Patience requires contentment. Somebody said this, anytime we are impatient, we're really saying what's going on in my life right now does not look like the vision I have for it. What's going on in my life right now is not matching up to the vision I have for it. I need to be like 5 miles down the road, and here I am stuck behind this guy. Okay. Doesn't match up. That's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. I envisioned my life to be this way. It's not this way. I need to take care of it. See, impatience has nothing to do. Let me get the whole statement out because you won't like the first part. Impatience has nothing to do with what the other person is doing. Mull it over. Impatience has nothing to do with what the other person is doing. Impatience has everything to do with how I'm handling what the other person is doing or not doing. How am I handling what's happening here? That's where impatience comes in. The pokey spouse or the procrastinating child or the sluggish employee isn't really the cause of the impatience. They're simply the tablet where I paint my own expectations and desires of what I expect to happen in my life. What that means is I need to work hard at being content. I have to allow my beliefs to be changed. If I believe that I can only survive, if I can only exist, I can only be happy if my life changes now or it changes quickly, then that's going to produce a certain amount of impatience in me. Goes back to what I'm believing about what I need, what I have to have. I also need to embrace, Trudy mentioned when we were praying about the different seasons of life, I need to embrace that there are seasons. And there's sowing, there's waiting, there's reaping. Waiting is the hardest part. You know? And so we sow. Okay, that can be pretty quick. We reap, that can be pretty quick. It's the waiting in between. So 2 Timothy says we're to be ready in season and out of season. So no matter what the season is, we need to be ready. But understand that there are seasons. Farmers know that impatience is kind of deadly. Now, here's some traps. I'm going to talk about a couple of traps that we have in our bid to be patient. Here's an impatience trap. Decreased awareness. That's what our video at the beginning of class was all about. Decreased awareness. See, when we focusing on solutions and focusing on what we're trying to do, that's a good thing, okay? You have a problem in front of you. You have something that you really would like to change, and so you focus on that, and you try to address that. Okay, that's a good thing. The problem is when we let that focus decrease our awareness of other details. Now, notice, you know, whether or not you notice that there's a moonwalking bear, probably isn't that critical. But there are many other things where we focus so much on the problem that we miss the preliminary details. And we end up making, we kind of jump to, let's fix it, rather than, okay, what's the scenario here? What's the whole deal? As we try to push our life more into line with the vision that we have for it, then we can begin to rely on our expectations of what is true. See, part of that video was your expectation that all you had to deal with there was a team in white and a team in black. So you disregarded completely the team in black. The bear was dark, so when it came into the picture, didn't notice it because it wasn't important to you. And that happens so often when we're focusing so much on what the problem is, we can begin to just rely on our expectations of what is true rather than what is really true. Let me show you another quick video. You may have seen this, but I want to just take a minute here. Seven people walked by in the 45 minutes that he was there, and there probably was a lot of people, if they had known who he was, probably wouldn't have stopped anyway. They had other things on their mind, other things they wanted to do, but he was dressed in a ball cap and just regular clothes. That's Joshua Bell. He's one of the world's premier violinists. He was playing a $3.5 million Stradivarius. He packs out concert halls. You pay big money to see him. People weren't expecting him to be in a subway station, you know, with an open case. We have a trap of decreased awareness when we're tackling a problem. So here's another trap we can fall into: failing to think. You ever done something and you, after a minute you go, oh, well, if I just stopped and thought about that, You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Just before you hit, just right after you hit reply all, you go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, something like that. Or you know, and you just don't stop and think. Failing to stop and think is probably a lot more common than we might realize. So why don't we stop to think? Well, there's a couple reasons. Couple reasons. One is information overload. Information overload. This can happen a lot when we're learning something new, when there's a new situation or there's new information. You know, you're learning a new something on a computer, or you're learning a new job, or there's just a new situation you aren't familiar with. There's a lot of data points there. And so we get overloaded and we pick one, not really realizing that there are other things that are important to this decision. And so we just go based on the little bit of information we're focused on. We don't stop and think about everything because it just seems like too much. Research has shown that we can handle about 5 to 9 discrete items at once. That's about the limit of what we can kind of deal with. And when we get more than that, then we have to put something down in our mind to pick that other thing up. So we have information overload. The other thing that comes into this, I'm not stopping to think, is everyday routines. Old Chinese proverb says, the fish is the last one to know that he's in the water. Because we're going with the flow. I mean, you're in the flow. You don't realize what the flow is. You're just kind of in the routine, you know. You do it, you do it, you do it. And so you don't stop and think about what you're doing because you've done it so many times. And so you get in those everyday routines. And there comes the point where you do something and you go, oh, wish I hadn't done that because, you know, I should have broken out of the routine there. I should have stepped back and taken a look. And that's what sometimes we need to do, is step back. And when we get so immersed in what we're doing. Thirdly, there's where we assume we know. It's part of the routine. Or just we encounter something that looks familiar, and so we assume we know. We don't stop to think about it. We just, oh, well, this looks like that, and so I'm going to just jump ahead. So you got to be aware of these things and realize, okay, am I considering all the data points? Am I just kind of going with the flow, or do I need to maybe stop, step back, take a look, take a second, consider? Because it's an impatient trap when we fail to think. Now, how do you avoid the trap? Well, first thing is practice. It's true with all of these things. Okay, practice. Practice with the feeling. When you feel the feeling, say, aha, I feel the feeling. I feel impatient here. Maybe, okay, let's try that thing. What did they talk about? Stop and think, okay. I'm feeling the feeling. Maybe I need to practice contentment here, okay? Realizing that the time it takes is the time it takes. Practice.
That the failing to think is because of the emotional reaction.
Absolutely. That it's the emotional reaction. And so when we feel that feeling of the emotional thing, we go, okay, I feel that feeling. Let me practice. When you get the email that says, you know, your little world's going to end and you've infected 15,000 people with a virus and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Maybe you should stop and call a timeout because you're feeling that impatience of, I need to do something now. Maybe you should stop. Okay. Maybe that little thing you got in your email or that somebody posted on Facebook, maybe it's not really real. Okay. So, yeah. So, practice, check before you push the panic button. All right. Now, another way to avoid the trap, I like this one. Show your work. Show your work. You ever had a math teacher that demanded that you show your work? Okay. Saw a cartoon, the guy had all these formulas. Okay. He had the beginning, and they had the ending with the answer and all the formulas. In the middle, he had something miraculous happens. Miracle occurs. Okay. You know, I don't know how I got to the end, but, you know, I know this is right. I know this is a good reason. Why are you thinking that? What took you to that conclusion? And sometimes our impatience wants us to just jump to the conclusion, and we need to stop and show our work. Okay, what's the reasoning here? What's my line of reasoning that gets me to say that this is the way I should act? Sometimes you need to make it visible. Even you might need to write it down or speak it out loud. Here's what I'm thinking, so that somebody wiser, your spouse, can say, "What?" Even sometimes when we hear it out loud, we go, "What?" That doesn't make any sense, does it? And show your work. You know, what was driving Abraham and Sarah's impatience? We're getting old. Right? Okay. But they started old, and God told them when they were already old that he was going to bless them and make them a nation. So what was really driving their impatience to go ahead? It was fear. It was, you know, all these things, okay? They were using a particular line of reasoning that if they'd have showed their work and kind of, they go, okay, God, my reasoning.
I think sometimes we convince ourselves that we need to do something to help it along. We need to help God out. We need to take a little bit of action, and absolutely, that's probably what God's waiting for, so I better go ahead and do it so maybe then God can do his part.
Yeah.
We convince ourselves.
Yeah. And like I said a couple weeks ago, we say, okay, well, I'm just acting in faith. Well, what are the facts that you're basing your faith on? That it's going to work out? Where's that come from? What's the line of reasoning there? And then, thirdly, I don't have time. So, you'll have to wait for the ending of this. Even though she's got the blank because she's sitting there looking at it. All right. Let's pray before we go. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us. Lord, we thank you that in these situations, you've given us emotions, and they help us. But at the same time, you've also given us your word to go on. And we pray this week that as the opportunity arises for us to show our faith in you and the faith in what you're doing in our life, that we would be good to do that and that we would make wise decisions. Go with us now in your name. Amen.